This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
You can be turning in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. As you can see on the screen, we will finish up Mark chapter 1 with verses 40 through 45. The last time we were in Mark 1 was 3 weeks ago when we found Jesus, remember, at prayer early in the morning, and the disciples came looking for him and said, "Everyone is looking for you." And remember, everyone was looking for Jesus because he was healing and he was raising or casting out demons. And remember, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "No, we need to go on to the other towns because I need to preach there. That's why I came. That's why I came out, in order to go and preach." And so the Bible says there at the end of that passage that Jesus went throughout Galilee preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. And so we come to this text where Jesus will encounter a leper. Let's read this story and then talk about it under three headings: the Lord's compassion, the Lord's charge, and the Lord's disobedience. So I'm going to read from the ESV version. Mark chapter 1, 40 through 45 reads like this. "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." Well, it's interesting during this time of COVID virus quarantine that we read this story about leprosy. You know, leprosy in those days was the most feared disease in the Old and the New Testament. First century Palestine, it was greatly feared. Two long chapters in Leviticus deal with leprosy and what you were supposed to do if you suspected that you might have it. And it's clear that the term leprosy used in the Old and the New Testament was an umbrella term, if you will, that covered a wide variety of skin diseases. But the devastation of leprosy included the physical trauma caused by nerve damage and muscle weakness, resulting in severe disfigurement and significant disability. Some would say that even more horrible, though, than the physical effects was the social trauma. Leprosy came not just with a diagnosis, it came with a sentence. The lepers were socially isolated from everyone, including their own families. They had to live alone. They had to live outside the camp, as the law of Leviticus 13 tells us. They had to cover their mouth, and if anyone came within distance, they had to yell out, "Unclean." Unclean is a warning to them not to come any closer. So the most horrible word or sentence or phrase a person could ever hear from his priest, who was charged in those days with diagnosing leprosy, was to be told, "You are unclean." It was a sentence worse than death. In fact, the rabbis referred to lepers as the living dead. And they said that it was harder to cure leprosy than it was to raise the dead. So that you can understand then that the most joyful words a person could ever hear from his priest would be the words, "You are clean." And this is probably why the leper said to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." He didn't say, "If you will, you can heal me." He said, "If you will, you can make me clean." To be healed was wonderful, but that meant that you were now clean. It meant you could be restored to your family, to your community. And that was the leper's greatest longing, the desire of his heart. And it's our desire now as well. I hope that during this time of separation, the Lord is building in each one of us at Antioch Community Church a hunger for being together, a hunger for that day when the word will come down from those who have authority to give it, that we can gather again in groups of 50 or 100 or 200 or whatever the word happens to be, because then we can be together again. When you read Leviticus 13 and 14 and you think of leprosy as a picture of sin, you see that the law was powerless to heal and restore. You know, the priests could only pronounce judgment on the person. You are unclean, or you are clean. The priest had no ability to deliver that person from uncleanness. So the law simply stated the truth of what was about leprosy and about our sin as well. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You see, saints, the law cannot save us. It can only expose the true condition of our sin-sick souls. Only Jesus can heal us. Only Jesus can make us clean. This story is not really about the plight of the leper, then. This story is really more about the love, the might of the Lord. So let's talk about the first point, the Lord's compassion. The Lord said to the leper said to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." You see, even in that plea are evidences of faith that the Lord had given the leper to be able to say to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." He does not question the Lord's ability to make him clean. You know what he's questioning there, right? He's questioning the Lord's willingness to make him clean. Isn't that just like you and me? Some of us still struggle with this whole idea. We know the Lord is able, but we doubt His willingness. We know in our hearts that the Lord loves us, but we doubt that He really likes us. We know that the Lord, at least in theory, is for us, but we really have a hard time believing it for ourselves, don't we? Because of our own sin, because of our shame, because of our weakness, because of our lack of faith. Well, that's what we have here. We see the Lord being questioned about His willingness. And Jesus' response is shocking. It would have been unheard of in those days. What did He do? Instead of turning from the leper and moving away from the leper, as you were supposed to do according to the law, He turned toward him. Instead of making the leper stand far off, as writings said in some of the Jewish writings in those days, that 50 paces was the requirement. So if you figure 150 feet, you had to stay away from anybody if you had leprosy. Well, Jesus instead moved closer to the man. Instead of wearing a mask and gloves and dousing himself with Germex, Jesus touched the leper. It's interesting. Jesus did not have to touch the leper to heal him, did he? We see Jesus healing people with just a word. We see people, Jesus healing people who weren't even there, right? Yeah, go home and you'll find that your son has been restored. And he went home and he asked his servant, "When was he restored?" "Oh, at this hour." And he remembers, that's the hour Jesus said your son is healed. Jesus did not have to be physically present to heal anyone. He certainly did not have to touch anyone to heal them. Why does he do that? Well, the text tells us that he was moved with pity. He was moved with compassion for this outcast, this man who lived as a prisoner in his own skin. He touched the man and he said, "I am willing. Be clean." You know, Jesus was not like the rest of the priests. I like what James Edwards writes about this. He says, "Jesus is not polluted by the leper's disease. Rather, the leper is cleansed and healed by Jesus' contagious holiness." That's what we need. We need Jesus' contagious holiness, and we can only have that if we have Jesus' life in us, and we can only have that if we trust Him as Savior and Lord. We need His holiness. Do you see what's on display in this encounter? Remember, Jesus had said, I need to go and preach. That's why I came out. What was He preaching? Remember the first sermon? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. What we see here is a picture of the kingdom of God. Jesus is showing the power of the kingdom of God, not just healing the leper, but showing again how the kingdom comes to any man or any woman, any boy, any girl. Jesus touches the sinful and makes the exchange. Your sin, He says, for my righteousness. In this story, the Lord of all touched this man who was unclean, and the unclean received the cleanness from the Lord. In the story, the story of the gospel, the sinner, each of us, is touched by Jesus, and His unclean heart of flesh, my unclean heart of flesh, was replaced with a new heart. Dead spirit is made alive. How? Well, Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, for our sake He made Him, God made Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. In Him, in Jesus, in no one else. The great exchange. The prisoner in his own body of flesh is set free by the Lord of all creation and called to a new life of freedom to serve the Most High God. That's true of lepers, this leper at least, and it's true of every sinner made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Well, now let's look at the Lord's charge, which is very interesting. In verses 43 and 44, we just read these. The Lord surprises us again, this time by telling the former leper to keep his mouth closed about Jesus. See, here's what He said. See that you say nothing to anyone. What should you say about this, Mr. Clean? Nothing. Right. To whom should you say this to, Mr. Clean? Anyone. Okay, let's be clear that anyone you encounter from this day forward, you are to say nothing about the fact that you were once a leper and now you are not a leper. Get it? Got it. Good. And we say, wait a minute, hold out, time out. What about the Great Commission? I thought we were supposed to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. We are. He wasn't, at least not yet. He was simply supposed to go and show Himself to the priest, just like Leviticus 13 and 14 spells out in great detail, right? Show yourself to the priest, Jesus said. Follow the protocol that's been laid down in Leviticus. And Jesus says, so that it might be proof to them. So some believe that because Jesus said it this way, that it was okay for the man to go to the priest and say, I'm healed now, and this is what happened. It was okay for him to at least tell the priest that what had happened to him. Now, if that's true, why would he have been able to do that? Well, maybe it's because Mr. Clean could tell Mr. Priest, hey, let me tell you something. All you can do is diagnose leprosy. I met the guy who can heal it. And let me tell you something. He's the Lord of all creation. And Mr. Priest, why don't you believe in Him? I just met the Son of God. He changed my life, as you can clearly see. Now, we don't know. Some would argue, the man was told not to say anything to anyone, and that included Jesus. So why would that be? There's been a lot written over the years about this. It's called the command to silence. The command to silence, we see Jesus issue this to this leper. We see him issue it to lots of demons. He tells the demons to shut up and not to speak about him. We even see him say it to a deaf man in Mark chapter 7. A deaf man he heals. He says, Ephatha, open up. He opens his ears. And then he tells them, the others who were with him, and the leper, to say nothing to anyone. Now, there are two reasons suggested for this. One reason, I think, and I like this reason. Remember, Jesus came to preach the gospel. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He did not come to do signs and wonders. He did signs and wonders. In fact, signs and wonders followed him wherever he went because he had authority over the demons and over sickness and over the wind and the waves. But I think he did not want, and Jesus still does not want, his people to follow signs and wonders. He wants his people to follow him. And this early in his ministry, if the word had spread everywhere that there was a miracle worker on the scene who must be the promised Messiah, this must be the one who was prophesied, this must be the king who is coming to rescue his people from Roman occupation, if that word had gotten out, what would have happened? Oh, in a flash, the Roman authorities would have been on the scene to arrest him and to take this man and put him away. And so Jesus told, for practical reason, Jesus may have used this command of silence early in his ministry simply because he had work to do, and it was not yet completed. You know, there's also a theological reason, I believe, that he told people to keep quiet about these miracles, because it was consistent with his character as the suffering servant of the Lord. Jesus knew what was in men's hearts, and he knew that what would change the hearts of lost men and women was not that they had heard or seen miraculous signs and wonders, but that they had seen the humility and the suffering of the Lord, who's obedient to death, even death on a cross. As Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think about myself. I did not come to faith and repentance as a teenager because I had read that Jesus, you know, healed lepers and fed 5,000. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I would like to, man, it would really be nice to have seen something like that. I wish I could have been on the scene to see that. But that did not change my life. It didn't change my heart. I came to faith and repentance when I understood that Jesus hung on the cross to pay for my sins, to offer me forgiveness, to make me clean. And so did Robert Robinson, the author of a poem called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing that later was set to music, and we sang it today. I asked Caleb if we could do this. I just read the story this week that on Sunday, May 24th, 1752, he, Robert Robinson, was one of a gang of young people who went and got a fortune teller drunk just for fun. And then they visited with this fortune teller, him and his buddies, they visited the tabernacle in England where Charles Spurgeon preached. Why? Quote, to mock the preacher and to pity his hearers. But instead, Robinson was haunted by Whitfield's sermon. I'm sorry, was it Whitfield or Spurgeon? It was Whitfield. It was George Whitfield. Instead, Robinson was haunted by Whitfield's sermon on the wrath to come. Day and night he was troubled as he recalled that message. Listen, 3 years he thought about that. You think sermons don't make any difference if you just hear one sermon and then you walk away from it. No, you read a tract and maybe 3 years later you hear a message and maybe 3 years later you read a sentence in a book and maybe 3 years later, as it happened with this man, it culminated in his wholehearted conversion. We know it happened from a cryptic notation he made in Latin on a blank page in one of his books. He wrote on Tuesday, December 10th, 1755, he, quote, found full and free forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that he would write in his famous hymn, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. You know, it's only on the cross that Jesus would finally be known as who he truly is. Well, then we come to the leper's disobedience, the last point. In verse 45, we read the astonishing words that this man, who had been shown compassion and healed and delivered from bondage to leprosy, went out and did precisely what Jesus had told him not to do. He said, don't mention this to anyone. Say nothing about this. And the man went out and spread this broadside everywhere. In the way that he witnessed, and this is important, we need to hear this. In the way that he witnessed, he actually became an obstacle to Jesus and his ministry. What had looked like humility in the leper now looks like arrogance. Now, someone excused this was, well, his heart was in the right place. I mean, and he couldn't help himself. You know, I mean, he just couldn't help himself. He'd just been healed. And I understand that, but we have to ask the question, can our heart ever really be in the right place at the same time we're disobeying the Lord's clear commands? I'd say probably not, right? We can't excuse our heart for being in the right place when we're doing the wrong thing. There's never a right way to sin. So that's what this man was doing. But the bigger picture here is this. The one who'd been relieved of the burden of leprosy, a horrible burden that was, he'd been relieved. He turns, and through his actions, he places a burden on the Lord Jesus, the one who had relieved his burden. It's interesting, the juxtaposition here. The one who had been on the outside is now on the inside, and the one who had been free to go into cities was now unable to do that. He was now on the outside. He can no longer openly enter a town, but he was out in desolate places, and people were still coming to him from every quarter. Now, here's the point, I think, one of the points, Sinclair Ferguson writes this, that this is a basic principle or lesson of discipleship. The Lord's work should be done only in the Lord's way, and only according to the Lord's word. He goes on to say, there's no better principle by which to serve him than the one which Mary learned and taught. Remember his mother, Mary, at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2, ran out of wine. She came to Jesus. She said, they're out of wine. He says, woman, what does this have to do with me? My time has not yet come. But anyway, he favored his mother by giving them more wine. He turned water into wine. But Mary turned to the servants and said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And I love that. And Sinclair Ferguson uses that. He says, this is the principle by which to serve him. Do whatever he tells you. And in the case of this leper, don't do what he tells you not to do. Well, we've seen the Lord's compassion, and we've seen the Lord's strong charge to the leper, and then we've seen the leper's disobedience. As we close, let's consider a few questions of application for ourselves. First of all, do you struggle with doubt in any area in your own life about the Lord's willingness to help you? You say, I know the Lord is able, but I don't know if he's willing. Well, don't be like the leper. Be more like the leper in the fact that even in not knowing whether the Lord was willing, at least he was willing to ask the Lord if he was willing. And we could do the same thing, knowing that the Lord loves us. Believe that. Believe today that the Lord loves you. Ask for more faith. You know, during this time of being quarantined, what we need to be asking the Lord for is more faith to believe in his word, more faith to trust him, more faith to believe that what he's allowing and orchestrating in the world, the entire world right now, is for his own glory. And ask him to show us how we can be right there in the center of what he wants us to be doing. Lay hold on the Lord's willingness. I think about Abraham. You know, remember when he was praying about Sodom and he started with 50? Lord, if there are 50 righteous in Sodom, you won't destroy Sodom, will you? Lord said, no, I won't destroy for 50. He said, well, Lord, how about 40? And he works him down to 10. And what is Abraham doing there? He's pleading with the Lord. He's laying hold of the Lord's compassion and his willingness to spare lives. We need to lay hold of the Lord's willingness to give us the fullness of life that he's promised. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Don't live in the prison of your own building by not believing the Lord is willing to bless you, to strengthen you, to use you for his glory. Second, how can we be more active? How can we be more active in telling others what the Lord has done for us? How he set us free from isolation and bondage. You know, the command of silence does not apply to us. It was limited early in his ministry. And now we're commanded to do just the opposite. We're commanded to speak. We're commanded to open our mouths and proclaim the glory of God to whomever we can. This is a time to be doing that. This is a time when our neighbors, our friends, our family members, those who don't know the Lord need to hear the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray that they would be willing and ready to open their hearts to the good news, that they don't have to be a social leper anymore. They don't have to be a sin-filled soul anymore, that Jesus, who healed the leper, can deliver them from bondage to sin. We can speak freely about Jesus, and we must. Let's close with a time of considering our own hearts. I just want to challenge you as you're listening to this with your eyes closed at home. Let me just challenge you that implore you to believe that the Lord loves you. Stop believing the lie that he doesn't. If you believe in your heart that God doesn't love you, you can be sure that that does not come from the Bible. It doesn't come from heaven. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy, not from God. The Bible says that he shows us how much he loves us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ hung on the cross and died for us. So would you put that away even today? Would you say, Lord, I choose today to put my faith completely in you and completely in your love for me, that you are for me. And because you are for me, who can stand against me? As Paul says in Romans 8, that triumphant passage at the end of Romans 8, neither death nor life nor powers nor principalities nor all the things, heights and depth and all the things that we think of separate us from God, nothing can. And including our own misgivings, our own wrong thinking. So Lord, deliver us from that. And also, Lord, would you give us boldness today? Would you pray that the Lord would give you boldness to proclaim the good news of God? Do it in the right way. Don't become an obstacle to faith in the way that you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do so with humility. Do so with selflessness. Do so with tenderness. But do so with boldness. We pray that you would help us today, Lord, to be more willing to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.